Cat Coaches Show.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. A day earlier than normal due to some special activities going on in the downtown area with trick-or-treating and Halloween coming up. They've got a special downtown promotion tomorrow evening, so we're doing the show a day early. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and we've got a good show coming up tonight. We'll be talking cross-country and football as Northwest cross-country coach Scott Lorick is on hand, as well as a couple of runners off of his team. Nolan Zimmer and Sammy Lorenzo. Then we'll talk football with the head coach of the Bearcats, Adam Dorrell, and two defensive backs off of his squad, Jack Young and Kevin Berg, will be with us. And again, Matt Gorder, another pretty good weekend of athletics this past weekend for Northwest Missouri State.
Yeah, it really was. We saw some more wins, home wins for the volleyball team. We saw another road win for the football team. And you know, the good thing about those two is they really get a lot of home action late in the season, so they've kind of set themselves up to be in a pretty good position the way things play out right now. So we saw that cross country with great weekend over in Illinois, just across the border from St. Louis. So, yeah, all in all, a great weekend last weekend for Bearcat fans.
And we talk about volleyball. They've got a very big weekend coming up as well. They go back to on the road to Topeka to face Washburn, a rematch of a very close match at the Bearcat Arena earlier this season. Then the next day, another tough match over in Emporia against Emporia State.
Yeah, one thing to look at there is, especially with the Washburn match, Northwest is in a tie for third right now in the MIAA, and they are a half game behind Washburn, two games behind Nebraska Kearney. They'll get a chance to face Nebraska Kearney at home. Their last five matches are at home after this weekend, so they've got a chance to face Nebraska Kearney, but avenge a loss against Washburn. I don't think all five of those sets, I think it was like 2 points each set, if maybe three on one of them, but it was very close all five sets. So it's a chance to go over there and try to avenge that loss against Washburn, win on their home floor. And then even though they beat Emporia State a little easier, it's still tough to play at Emporia State, and it seems like it's that way with all sports over at Emporia, but they need to make sure they'll be focused on that match after having what will probably be a very tough one on Friday.
And for soccer, they go down to St. Joseph Friday to face Missouri Western. Now, that's a road game, but almost a home game for the Northwest soccer team. They had to play a few games down there earlier this season due to the field conditions at Bearcat Pitch.
Yeah, the wet, rainy weather at the start of the soccer season was not kind to the field. Well, it was kind to the field because it watered the field, but the problem is they would have tried to play on that field, it just would have been shredded and tore up, and they didn't want to do that. So they played a couple of those early season matches down at Missouri Western. So that'll be one advantage for it being a road game, is the fact that they've played more on that field than you normally would on a field that you're traveling to.
Then they head on to St. Charles to face Leonard Wood on Sunday.
Yeah, a chance to try to close out the season strong. They've kind of had a rough stretch wins and losses wise, but if you look at last weekend, they had a couple of losses, but they really played good soccer. They just didn't end up with wins and get points in those matches, so that's a little bit tough, and hopefully they can get a couple of wins this weekend to close out on a positive note.
Football went over in Lindenwood last Saturday.
Yeah, I tell you, that was interesting. A very well played game by Northwest, and something we've seen a lot this year, especially with the athletic teams that Northwest has gone against. Early on in the game, seems pretty close. Maybe the other team gets a lead because there's a lot of athletic football players in this conference. But one thing you always notice with Northwest is that third and fourth quarter, having the strength to play just as hard in the fourth quarter as they did in the first quarter, for two reasons. One, the depth that they've got, and two, just they're just in great shape, you know. And we've seen that all year long. Northwest has been winning fourth quarters since the beginning of the year, and that's something that's very important, especially when you get into late season and potentially postseason play.
First regional rankings of the season released this week, and the Bearcats at the top of Super Region 3.
That's right. A couple of undefeated teams there at the top, with Sioux Falls in the number two spot, also undefeated. So, you know, you figured that's where Northwest would be. What may play out interesting is to see how the later regional rankings play out. You would assume and think Northwest would stay in that top spot, but you can't assume that with an all-conference schedule. Your record, or in terms of your strength of schedule, is basically 500, you know, because you're going to have the all-conference schedule. So I wouldn't see them moving, but I'm not going to assume that now. We've seen weirder things. Yeah. But we know that's the spot they deserve, and hopefully they'll be able to stay there through the end of the season.
And when you talk about strength of schedule, things get a little bit tougher now for the football team after three straight weeks of teams with one win going into it. They face three pretty tough ones to round out the regular season, starting with Pittsburgh State on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's a good thing. And I think 3 weeks and three teams, tough teams, going into the postseason is probably just the right number. You know, you want to have some competition. You want to make sure that you know of everything you need to have shored up, what you need to improve on going into the postseason, and you're going to find that out by playing against good opponents. And sometimes, you know, you play those last three or four games against teams you're beating by 50 or 60 points, you may not quite have the focus going into the postseason. And we've seen that from teams before. You know, you play some easy games, and then you get in that first playoff game, it's tough competition from there on out, and you're kind of on your heels a little bit because it's just come so easy recently. And Northwest won't face that because they will be challenged each of the last three ball games of the regular season.
I think one of the things that's interesting when you look at Pittsburgh State, they've got three losses, and this is something I don't think you've ever seen, is the fact all three of these losses at home at Pittsburgh, Kansas, with the type of atmosphere they have for football.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and I think that's another thing that you kind of have to look at in terms of this game is the fact that, yeah, they're 5-3, but they haven't lost on the road yet, you know, and they've played some good teams on the road. So that's why, you know, coaches said it earlier this week, he'll probably say it again tonight, you just throw out the records, you know, you have to, because you can't assume anything based upon what they've done statistically, record-wise, and that sort of thing. You just have to focus on that game and what you can do.
Right, it ought to be a heck of an atmosphere. I mean, even when you face Pittsburgh State during the regular season when homecoming's not a part of the matchup, but you got homecoming to go along with that, it should be a lot of fun at Bearcats Stadium Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a second straight homecoming game, and the Bearcats fans came out for the last week's homecoming game, even though it was Lindenwood's homecoming game, and you know, I don't know if they thought anything about it or were too worried about it, but it was interesting seeing the governor at that game, Lindenwood's homecoming, wearing Bearcat green. So that was kind of cool, too. But, yeah, this weekend will definitely be different. Even though that was a homecoming game, the atmosphere is just going to be amazing. Standing room only tickets is what you're looking at, and that's cool. That means the stadium's going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. You've got a good opponent. You know, you always had that assumption in the past that you wanted to schedule that easy opponent to make sure you could win homecoming and that sort of thing. And I don't know. I just think it's a lot more fun. Now, granted, if you do lose a game on homecoming, it's not as much fun, but I think the anticipation going into it, getting a big crowd, being ready for the homecoming football game gets even bigger when it is a tougher opponent and not an opponent that you can say, oh, they're going to win by 60. We'll be going home by halftime. It's not going to be the case this week, so I think that makes it more fun.
Yeah, I think we'll see the stands full in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. A reminder that support for the Coaches Show comes from the Student Body, Screen Printing and Embroidery, located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dining in or carry out. More information at 660-582-2699. And Matt, before we go to break here, I think we need to mention, too, that we've got some special T-shirts we're handing out during the show tonight.
Yeah, we've got some T-shirts we're going to be giving away tonight from Northwest Career Services. They were kind enough to provide those, and if we can get Ryan to finish up eating sometime soon, maybe he'll be able to hand out a few of those shirts here tonight. I don't think that made it too happy.
No, it's a good thing this is radio.
Yep.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk cross-country as the head coach of the Northwest cross-country team, Scott Lurick, will join us. That's coming up right after this time out as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Nottoway Valley Bank. With 8 locations, NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for almost a century and a half. The right bank is right at your fingertips at nvb.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point Assisted Living and Memory Care in Maryville. Oak Point offers private apartments and other services for seniors. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Jesse, Maggie Wilson, and Chad Townsend offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. or at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Audio Visual, providing residential, commercial, and auto customers with sales, design, service, and installation of home theater and car audio systems. More at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW as we're going to talk some cross country. It was a big weekend last weekend for the Bearcat cross country teams as they were just across the border near St. Louis and Elsa, Illinois. I have to admit, I grew up in Illinois, but I had never heard of Elsa before this.
Me too, and I never have either.
Yeah. How was the course? That's the important part.
It was. It was Lindenwood hosted it at Principia College, which is in Elsa, and it's a great course, and it's actually been the host of the NCAA Division III National Championships a couple times. It'll be the NAIA Championships will be held there this year as well. So Lindenwood was able to use that course for our meet.
And it looks like it fit the Bearcats fairly well with a lot of all MIAA conference recognition coming back because of the finishes. Starting on the men's side, second overall. I know you were confident going into that meet on the men's side. Did you feel like that's a good finish? Missouri Southern, the only one that finished in front of you. They've had a strong program. How did you feel about that finish on Saturday?
I felt real good about it. Of course, you know, we went in with the goal of winning. But, you know, going into it, Missouri Southern was the favorite. So we did. We competed very well, and there's nothing, you know, I could say we really could have done differently to turn the tables. Missouri Southern is a very good team and beat us. So, but we had a great meet and we competed well, and we're looking forward to the next one.
Going into it, a couple weeks ago when we talked with you, you said that you felt like the guys that were going to run this year had learned a lot from previous meets, the previous MIAA championships. You feel they utilized what they learned well on Saturday?
Absolutely. And this year, you know, we didn't talk at all about results, and that was the thing. And last year, I think that was kind of part of our big issue, was we were kind of leaning more towards results and things like that. So we went into this one just with the focus of running well and running hard and taking care of the race and letting, you know, the points and the results just, you know, be whatever we get from that. But so we really kept our focus on what we did have control over and what we were doing.
You ended up with three runners in the top six spots, and I know you've talked before about grouping and having guys running close together and that sort of thing. Was that important in this race and having those guys kind of pushing each other?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we also had a group of our next group guys, our 4, 5, 6, and 7 guys were all within 10 seconds. So, you know, we have those two groups that really push each other and are accountable to each other and, you know, press really well together.
When you look at the finishes, Braden Clues-Proctor was second overall. He was the runner-up individually. And then we'll hear from Nolan Zimmer a little bit later on, and Whit Cunningham with a good finish. And I know we've heard a lot from Braden and Nolan this year. They've been in top spots or near the top in most of the races that you've had. But Whit coming in and placing sixth, I don't want to say was that a surprise, but, I mean, how much more pleased were you with that since he hasn't been able to perform all season?
Well, we were. And you know, he had his appendicitis out in August right after that. And, you know, Marshall Fay was asking me about how, you know, was I surprised that he could, you know, come back like that. And really, no, I wasn't, because he put in such a tremendous summer of training that when he had that injury, that's what enabled him to come back really well. So he had been training with us for, you know, as soon as he could. He was out for about 3 weeks, and as soon as he could, we got back into it gradually and picked up. And he had run two races unattached, so he traveled down to Arkansas and to Lewis on his own and took care of all that kind of stuff on his own. So there was a little bit of gamesmanship in there, because he wanted to run at the Lewis meet in our uniform, and I said, no, I don't want anyone to know that you're not going to redshirt. So that meant he had to drive himself all the way to Chicago. So the day before the meet, there were a lot of teams surprised when they saw him there and in uniform, and I'm not sure if that really did anything, but it was great to have him run. So I wasn't surprised he got in sixth. We were, all the season we were saying, well, if we think he can be at that level again, we're going to put him in a uniform. If he can't be at that level, then we're just going to let it be a red shirt. But, we talked about it, and he was progressing really well, and said, Coach, I'm going to run now. And so we said, okay, let's go.
Was it a little different trying to get him back and ready for this point? Usually when you guys are talking about injuries, it's below the waist, it's somewhere in the legs. This was not the case. So was it a little bit different for you in trying to get somebody back into shape, dealing with a different type of injury than what you're used to?
It was a little bit different, but it was better because, the doctors had told us that, a certain level, it's just going to be his pain tolerance and you don't have to worry so much about re-injuring it. So, when you're dealing with Achilles tendon or something like that, that's always, of course, a consideration. So in that case, it was a lot better to handle.
Now let's talk a little bit about Brayton and Nolan. We talked about how they've been running so well this year. They've been at the top of pretty much every meet you guys have been a part of. They really kind of push each other since they're so close to each other so often?
Oh, they do. But we've got a whole group of guys that works really well together, and they can, push each other really well, throughout, most of our workouts. So a lot of our workouts, we've got, five, six guys, pushing things. But those two especially, they do, and they each have told me that they're very appreciative and thankful that they do have a teammate that can be right there with them in a race.
And talk about, even though it's an individual sport, yeah, there's team results, but kind of individual. The track and field's a little bit different that way, but what does the team camaraderie mean? How important is it for these guys to be close? I've met some family members of Nolan and been hearing some stories about, these guys, and they sound like they're just having fun all the time. And how important is team camaraderie when it comes to cross country?
They are, because, I think in these individual sports, it comes down to, do you really care about the person next to you? And that's always the thing. When you're in the middle of a race and, things are whatever. You're in a lot of fatigue and you're pushing and you're going uphill and all these kind of things. But you have to draw on your accountability to your teammates. And they have to mean something to you. And like I always tell, our whole team, that, when you need to, it needs to be very important to you how the person next to you runs. It just has to be important to you that they do well. It can't just be, I hope I do well. It has to be. And then if you have that kind of things going back and forth, with the team, then I think you are changing from an individual to a team sport.
You've always talked all year about how you're always building up to the conference meet, regional meets. That's what you're focusing on. All these other meets, yes, they're important, but it's part of the process. Somebody who seemed to have followed that process well, Sammy Lorenzo, is you get a personal best out of her at the time that you wanted it most. How was her race?
Oh, it was tremendous, and she beat a lot of people that she'd never beaten before. But I'll tell you this, and Sammy's sitting right over there, but it's so much about her confidence level and really being able to do the process and stick with a race plan and believe in that. So, running is such a mental thing about how to execute what you want to do and how to distribute your energy and, when to go and when to relax and how to pull those things all together. But it was not only her best race, but it was also her smartest race she's ever run. And so I'm just terribly proud of her, because last year she was 22nd and then she moved all the way up to 10th. And there's just a lot of good women distance runners. And, looking at the results, she beat a girl that was, our 10K conference champion last year in outdoor track. So it's just been a really good
talk about the mental side of it and the strategy of it. Most people who don't know the sport real well think it's just go out, run as fast as you can. How important is strategy? What sort of things are these runners thinking about, looking at as they're participating in these races?
Well, in cross country in particular, every course is different. So every course has kind of a different personality to it almost. So, like, we have a course review session, before we go, we'll put the course map up on an overhead projector, and then we'll talk about where are the hills and where's the finish and where are dead spots. And when I say dead spots, I mean those places where it's going to be easy to lose focus mentally. And there's some actual things about geography and all that lend to that. So it's really setting out a plan. It's all about how to distribute your energy and bring out your best race and be relaxed to it. And like this course was quite hilly, and our region meet's going to be very flat. And so that's going to require two different kinds of mental approaches and race plans to go into them.
And you mentioned kind of reviewing the course, and when we talk with Andy Peterson, the women's golf coach, they always get like a practice round so they can get a feel for the course they're playing on. Now, obviously, you guys don't want to go out and run a 10K the day before, but do they actually get to get on the course before the race, or are they learning it as they go?
No, we have our course maps ahead of time, and for our conference meet, I actually had a coach friend of mine in Michigan get me some video of the course. So we actually have to look at some video stuff just to kind of get an actual feel for it, because I think that's also really important for the visualization process and things like that, to actually know what it looks like. But we do get to run the course the day before, and we at least go part of the course. Like, this was like a two-lap course, so we could actually run the first lap without doing the whole thing, but then really get to point out the things that we looked at in our meetings and say, okay, this is what the hill really is, and here's the downhill, and here's this, and here's that. And so we can actually look at those things and start making that kind of imprint in your plan for the race.
We talked about the men's team last year learning a lot in the MIAAs, and obviously making the improvements this year. Was it a good learning experience for the women's team this year? Are they kind of in a position that the men were last year, where they just need to gain that experience?
In some ways, yes. I think we just had a series of bad things happen. We had two girls of our top five actually go down with medical things during the race, and that's when you you lose that, it's tough to put a team together where you want it. But I think we definitely did learn some things. I think it was different from what the men went through before, but I'm really feel good about our women's team going into the region meet. I think we can come back, and I think we can finish ahead of several of those teams that beat us at conference.
And you mentioned flat course at the regional meet in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. What about competition-wise? Are you going to see a lot of the teams that you've seen this year, or have you seen a lot of the region teams at some point through the course of the season?
We haven't seen too many of them. We've seen kind of the important ones. Missouri Southern, of course, they're ranked second in the region. We're ranked fourth. East Central Oklahoma is ranked fifth, and we saw them at Arkansas. Augustana, I'm trying to remember if they're at Arkansas or not, but Minnesota Moorhead we have not seen. But there have been several teams in the region we have, but I think we know enough to know what we're up against.
And how does it work in regionals for cross country to determine who goes on to the final national meet?
Yeah, in our region, the central region, the top four teams will advance to national championships, and the top three individuals not on one of those four teams. So I think we have a couple guys that if our team didn't make it, I think we've got some individuals that can be going. But of course, although this is the only place I'm going to talk about it, but we have a shot at going.
Yeah. That's right. Earmuffs, right?
Yeah.
Earmuffs.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's good. That's got to be fun. And, that's got to be, for the runners, it's got to be exciting to know that you're going into a race and they really want to compete hard, knowing that that's a possibility. I'm sure there's going to be some runners going up there going, well, I know today's the last day. I'm just going to run. So it's got to be a different feeling going into it with that type of opportunity.
And it is. It's a complete reversal of last year. Last year we went to the conference meet, maybe not quite the right focus, and we screwed it up, honestly. And then that made it really hard to bounce back for the region. And this year it's the opposite. We went to the region conference meet and had focus well, and we did well. And now that's just helping us going towards the region.
Well, Coach, good luck up in South Dakota.
Hey, thanks very much.
That is Coach Scott Lorick, the men's and women's cross-country coach at Northwest Missouri State. And when we come back, we'll hear from a couple of his athletes that had good weekends at the MIAAs last weekend. We'll do it right after this timeout. You're listening to the Coach's Show from Carson's in downtown Maryville on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville. Supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at maryvilleglassandlock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Again, it's a day early due to some downtown activities tomorrow with Halloween. So we are now going to continue to talk cross-country as Nolan Zimmer and Sammy Lorenzo from the cross-country teams are with us. And guys, thanks all for being with us here tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Nolan, first of all, I want to talk about the just coming into Carson's tonight. Were you a little bit surprised? I understand that we've got somebody in the audience here that you didn't know was going to be here.
Yeah, I got some family friends here, and I guess more importantly, I got my sister here too. So, yeah, it's good to have all the support, and I'm really excited to have my sister here as a freshman at Northwest this year. So,
all right, well, sounds good there. And Sammy, let's just talk about this last weekend, a good performance for you, and just talk about going into the conference meet and some of the training you had to get ready to open up with one of your better runs of the year.
Okay, I don't know, we've been working all season on this, and I don't know, my goal was to get top 20, but like ideally I really wanted top 10, but I didn't think that was very realistic, so like I didn't aim too high, but at the same time, like that's what I really wanted, and I'm very happy that I got my goal. But we've just been like progressively getting better, and like we've been working on speed stuff as the weeks go on. Like we started with an endurance, and now we're on more speed stuff. So.
And besides just the athletic part of it, how much of it was a confidence factor of going out and attacking that course this past weekend for you?
It was a big confidence booster, because now I know that I can hang with some of the other top runners in our conference, and we have a really hard conference, so that was definitely a confidence booster, yeah.
And Nolan, for you, a great performance as well. Just talk about going into the conference meet and some of the goals you had and how you were able to accomplish some of them.
Yeah, had very high expectations for myself and especially our team going into this meet. You know, I was fourth last year, so to come out and repeat that again, I was pleased with that. But more importantly, we did better as a team. We've gotten fifth place every year at the conference meet since I've been here, so kind of my mantra to the guys going into this meet was anything but fifth. And to come out as the conference runner-up as a team was a really big deal to us and a huge confidence boost heading into the regional meet. So, yeah, it was a great day for us.
What's some of the differences between, say, the fifth place finish you had the last couple of years as opposed to coming in and having that second place finish this year?
Well, the big thing is just the mindset of our team, not just going into this weekend, but going into this season. And I think it even stems back to last indoor track season and even outdoor. And just seeing the guys that are scoring well for us progress over the last, you know, I'd say about 12, 14 months or so. And it's just been really exciting to see, because I've known that there's potential with those guys, or has been for a long time, and to see them develop into the runners that they are, it's just been a huge, huge boost to our program. And yeah, we knew going into conference that we were one of the best teams, and I think we proved that.
Now, Coach Lurick talked some about this before the break, but again, it's an individual sport to a certain degree, but also a team sport. How do you accomplish kind of both of those goals in one race, trying to do your best individually, but supporting your teammates as well?
Yeah,
how some of that work?
A lot of it does come down to sacrifice. At least that's how I view it. Is it gets to a certain point in a race where you're going to be hurting just as much as, you know, the guys around you, and you really have to have that unselfish mindset of
when it hurts the most, with maybe a mile to go in the race, you have to understand that, you know, your brothers are out there doing the same exact thing, and you have to do it for each other and just score as low as you can for the team. And it's just, you want to do your best personally, but you know when you do your best individually that it's going to be the best for the team too. So.
And Sammy, again, coming up next, you've got the regional coming up in Sioux Falls. What are some of the things you want to do individually and as a team to get ready for this meet coming up in Sioux Falls?
I'll start talking about the team first. And as a team, on the girls' side at least, we've been struggling with, like, all clicking on the same day. So, like, some of us will have good races one day, and some of us will have good races the other day. So we haven't, like, had a day where we've all been on at all. So, I don't know, we're trying to find that day at regionals and the day that we're all on and all having a great race. So that's our team goal, because, like, I don't know, we just want to do better than we've been doing, because we haven't really performed up to our potential yet. And well, individually, I just want to put another good race together. I don't really have any placement goals, because, I don't know, you can only worry about what you're going to do. You can't dictate how other people are going to run, so you just have to worry about your race first.
And trying to get everyone on to perhaps have their best performance on the same day. What can you do in practice to maybe gear up for that and make that happen in a meet?
We've just been talking about our goals recently, and we all want to do it for each other. Like, that's been a big thing that we've started talking about within the past couple weeks for sure. Like, when it gets hard, like Nolan was talking about, do it for each other. Like, it's going to come to a point where you are hurting and you don't want to finish, but you just have to do it for each other. So, I don't know, we're a big family, so.
it seems like, in the respect of track and field, cross country, or the tennis teams where you have the men and women going to a lot of the same meets at the same time, it is really kind of a family with both sides there, isn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, I would say so.
And as far as you're a junior in the program, coming from Liberty North, talk a little bit about making the decision to come to Northwest Missouri State.
Okay. I don't know. I contacted Coach the December of my senior year, and I was like, hey, I'm looking for a team. Do you have any spots on your team for me? And he got back to me, and then I came for a visit, and I really liked the girls on the team, and I ate lunch with them one day. And so, I don't know, I feel like my personality really meshed well, and there was one girl in particular, Ann Herbert, and I don't know, her and I just got hit it off immediately, so that's a big part of why I came here.
And academically, what's your studies?
I'm studying psychology, but I originally came in an education major, so.
Now, what made you make the change to psychology?
I had an internship my senior year of high school, and I just felt like I wasn't authoritative enough, so.
Does that help you out on the course at all? Right. Being you're studying a little bit of psychology now, does that help a little bit in your runs and things?
I mean, yeah, kind of. I mean, a lot of the things kind of common sense, but at the same time, it's just kind of like reiterates what you already know. So I would say so, yeah.
All right. And Nolan, let's just talk about you coming from Kearney, and you're a senior in the program. What brought you to Northwest Missouri State?
Yeah, I got in contact with Coach Lorick in my senior year. I kind of started looking around to specifically Division II schools because I thought where I saw myself developing as a runner, that D2 would be the best fit for me, and specifically choosing Northwest, it's by far been the best decision I've ever made. And I, at this point, I can't really fathom not choosing it. I've met so many incredible people here, teammates, coaches, family, friends, professors. And, best decision I've ever made by far.
And academically, what's your field of study?
I am elementary education and special education.
And as a senior, I guess you'd be heading toward the work world here before too long.
Yep. I plan on doing my student teaching in Omaha next semester and graduating in May. And then hopefully by about that time or not long after, I'll have that first big boy job. So.
All right. Well, Nolan and Sammy, thanks a lot for being with us here on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Again, those couple of runners from the cross-country team as they're gearing up for their regional meet here in another week or so up in Sioux Falls. Nolan Zimmer and Sammy Lorenzo.
Thanks, sir.
When we come back, we'll turn our attention to football. We've got a couple of defensive backs off the Bearcat defense with us, as we will be talking with Kevin Berg as well as Jack Young, as they're with us for tonight's program. We'll be back and talk to those guys right after this timeout. So we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prairie House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we continue on, it's time to turn our attention to football, and we've got a couple members of the Bearcat football team with us on the program tonight. On the defensive side, Kevin Berg and Jack Young. And guys, thanks for being with us on the program.
Of course, I'm glad to be here, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
All right, and pretty good season so far, undefeated coming into your homecoming matchup, and coming off three games against teams, obviously you're favored going in, but I think the important thing for you guys just went out and took care of business in this.
Yeah, no, it was great. The coaches made a great game plan, and we were just lucky enough to go out there and execute and trust everybody, and everybody did their 111th, and it was fun to go around, and every single game we grow closer and closer, and we're just looking forward to this weekend.
And Kevin, just talk a little bit about the season after this point for you. I know you missed one game with an injury or so, but just talk a little bit about how this season come for you out there.
I mean, very well. It's great playing with all these guys. You know, me and Jack have been playing together for the past 4 years. You know, the senior group, we've grown very close together. And then our young guys, they've taken a huge leap throughout this whole year. They've learned on very quickly about, you know, what we do and how we do that. But so far, I mean, it's going great, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
Again, as you mentioned, both of you guys, seniors in the program and been together a long time. What are some of the leadership things you tried to convey to the younger guys coming up through the program that obviously get their snaps out there as well? But what are some of the things you want to tell them about the Bearcat way?
Just number one thing, I know whenever Kevin and I were younger, we didn't really understand, and the older guys did a great job of showing us you really just got to trust the process and understand that everyone's time is going to come in this program. You just got to keep working and keep striving to be the best every day. They've really done a good job of at practice and in games to really pick up how we do things in the Bearcat way, just like Kevin said, and we're just excited that all the young guys have came along as much as they have this season.
It really seems, too, that you guys buy into the fact that you might not be out there every snap because you got other guys coming in and out of there to where you're going to be fresh in that fourth quarter when the game's on the line. That it's not the matter of snaps you get out there, but what you do when you're out on the field that matters.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, those young guys, they've been able to come in and play a lot of meaningful snaps for us to give us a break during the game. Like you said, throughout the season, you know, we're going to need that break occasionally in the game where, you know, fourth quarter, there comes that deep ball. We got to be over the top, and having those fresh legs, that always helps.
When you look at what you guys have been able to accomplish defensively, what do you feel is the biggest strength of the defense this season?
Well, I would probably get beat up if I didn't say our front seven is probably the best front seven in the country. We're me and Kevin and the rest of the DBs are just lucky enough to have those guys up front to where we know that those guys are going to hit home and they're going to get pressure on the quarterback. And as long as we get our hands on and disrupt timing and stuff, we're going to be in pretty good shape in the back end.
Absolutely. You know, playing behind two NFL caliber defensive ends, it's very awesome. You know, they take a lot of pressure off of us by applying the pressure to the quarterback. And a lot of those turnovers that we generate are due to them.
What are some of the things you can do because of that perhaps you wouldn't do if you didn't have such a strong front four for you guys? Or
I mean, we blitz a lot more than usual. We bring a lot more pressure, and by that we play a lot more cover one, cover zero type stuff where we're putting more on island, but we have that trust in them. They're going to be able to hit home and disrupt the throw and timing.
Also, how important is it when you see a team defensively like you guys that really shuts down the run as well as you do, where you really turn your opposing offenses into a one-dimensional team where you guys pretty much know that they're going to be throwing the ball some here. What does that do to you guys as far as the type of schemes you have?
Well, our coaches harp on it every single week. We got to make them a one-dimensional team. We have to take away the run, and we just know in the back end that it is pretty much on us. You know, we have to show up ready to play, and just like Kevin said, we trust those guys to hit home. And you know, whenever we know a team is not going to be able to run on us or going to have more difficulty running the ball on us, we're able to pull a linebacker out and help us in the coverage and stuff. And we just try to work on our technique every single week and work on our coverages and just hope on Saturday that we pull out the W.
Yeah, I mean, like Jack said, it's a huge challenge for us. You know, by making the team one-dimensional, the passing game comes open, and then all the pressure comes to us. And we have great backers who've done a great job all year of helping us out with that as well, dropping back. You know, but they've done a great job all year.
One of the things that we talk about on the broadcast, it really goes from the coaching staff on down to the players, is just the amount of time you guys spend studying film and going into games where you really seem to know before the opponents do exactly what they're going to be doing. Just talk about the importance of film study and maybe a typical week of what you guys go through when you look at an opposing team's offense.
Well, that's another huge thing that we try to teach our younger guys about how big film study is, you know, especially in the back end for us. If we're able to see formations and know that they have higher tendencies of running a certain route or different concepts, you know, we wake up every Tuesday and Wednesday and have an hour film at 6 a.m., and then we got to go in throughout the day in between classes or stuff and get another hour of film in, and then before practice we'll have an hour and a half, 2 hours of meetings before. And we just know that if we're able to identify the stuff before it comes, we have a better chance of stopping it.
You know, and that's one of the things our coaches tell us each and every day is you play the game 100 times in your head before you even go out there and play on Saturday. So, I mean, you go through film, you get your checks and what we be doing to that. You match up route concepts. Like Jack said, we put a lot of time in the film room, and that really shows on Saturdays.
One of the things that the coaching staff emphasizes, what it really looks like, it's something you guys really buy into, is on game day just to go out and have fun. And obviously winning takes care of a lot of that, too, when you're winning a lot of games. But talk about wanting to go out and just enjoying playing the game of football together and what that means to you guys.
We actually, I wouldn't say get in trouble, but the coaches are very on top of us about if we don't celebrate, if we aren't having fun. They're very big on every single win that we get in the season. They tell us a college football game is hard to win, so we have to enjoy every single little thing, every pass breakup, every tackle, every play. They harp on it, and in practice, if someone makes a play and the whole team doesn't go over and celebrate, we end up having to do up-downs or something. And so the coaches are very, very big on celebrations, and we all like to have fun, so we just go along with the ride.
Yeah, and I mean, that carries over. It relaxes a lot more out there where we're not thinking about, you know, I got to make this play, I got to make this. I'm just going to go out and have fun. I'm going to do my job, and the rest will take care of itself.
Another thing that's really obvious watching you guys play is if all the game film and the study that you do, if they throw something at you guys haven't seen on film or weren't prepared for, it seems like this defense is able to make the adjustments in game as opposed to waiting to halftime to go make the adjustments. What are some of the things you guys do that makes you so effective to be able to make those adjustments before you have to go into the locker room at halftime and regroup?
I think the biggest thing about our defense is if we do let up a play or we do see something that we haven't seen and they end up exploiting it, the biggest thing for our defense is nobody panics. We all get to the sideline. We all know the coach is going to ask us what happened. We all explain our personal vision of it, and we're able to make the correction and then go out there and execute.
You know, I'm playing a minute now. Coach Rice's defense, he keeps it very simple for us where we can actually go out and just, you know, like what you said, we don't have to think about it. We can just go out and play. And so any route combinations or formations that we haven't seen before, we're able to just match it up with our check system and just go out and play.
Well, you guys got homecoming this weekend. Not only it's always exciting, but when you got Pittsburgh State on top of it, it ought to make for a lot of fun in preparing for this matchup this weekend.
Yeah, no, I know me, myself, and Kevin, and just the entire team, it's been very energetic practices, and just everyone's really excited. 2014, those guys came up here and left a bad taste in our mouth over homecoming, so we're all just excited to go out and play in front of Bearcat Nation and hopefully get a little revenge on them.
Yeah, and I mean, this is our first home game in quite a while, so, or I guess since 2 weeks, but we haven't had too many of our home games, so getting able and back here home and playing in front of our fans, it's awesome. You know, they do a great job each and every week of cheering us on.
What are some of the things you've been able to see out of Pittsburgh State so far?
They have a very strong quarterback and wide receiving core. They do like to pass the ball, so this week our back end knows going into the game, you know, we have to come out and play well. They're a very, very good coached football team. They're very well respected. They've dominated D2 football year in and year out, and we all know that they're going to come in, and no matter what, Pittsburgh State and Northwest have that rivalry, so we know that they're going to come in here and play hard, and we're all excited for it.
And that's the thing about a rivalry game, you can kind of throw wins and losses out the window. We're going to get their best shot and their best punch, and we got to be on our A game and very prepared for this one.
Yeah, really you have to be that way about every game. You don't sneak up on anybody coming in national champion and just the tradition this program's had through the years.
Yes, sir. I mean, it takes great preparation each and every week, and that's a credit to our coaches having us prepared no matter what opponent it is.
What about talk before I let you go about some of the things individually with you guys? First of all, Jack, you come in from Jefferson City. What drew you to the Bearcats? And tell us a little bit about that academic side for you.
Coming out of high school, there was a Jeff City Jaybird who played on the four national championship teams. And my parents were good friends with their parents. And I just grew up knowing that this was, you know, a powerhouse of Division II football. And I was just excited whenever Coach Floor was able to come down and talk to me at the school and stuff. I was just excited to just get up here and see the campus and see the environment and stuff. Whenever I took my visit here, I knew that this felt like home, and it felt like the family atmosphere, and all the coaches, you know, loved it. And Jeff City has a very good football tradition and stuff, and I just knew that this was the right place for me.
Hey, and academically, what's your field of study?
I'm currently a sports media major with a minor in coaching. I'm very excited. I'll be graduating in May, and so after that, it's kind of an open door. I have a few connections here and there, but I'm just excited to get that diploma and walk across that stage.
All right, spend a little time over Wells Hall then, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, and Kevin, let's just talk about you coming in from Kansas City and Rockers High School. I know a coach's son, but talk a little bit about what attracted you to Northwest here.
I mean, Coach Ozzie came down. He talked to me about the program. I wasn't too familiar with it. I'd heard, you know, the headlines about winning national championships and stuff. After I took my visit up here, actually on the way home, I told my dad, there's no way that I'm going to go to that school. 2 weeks later, I called him up. I said, I want to be a Bearcat, and the rest is history. But what brought me in is the family atmosphere. We talk about it so much, but it really is a family here. Everybody cares about each other. And I mean, it doesn't even matter if you're playing or not. You know, the community cares about you as a person, and we love to give it back to them.
And your field of study?
I'm a corporate recreation major and a coaching minor.
All right. Well, guys, thanks a lot for being with us on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Been talking to a couple of defensive backs off the Bearcat football team, Jack Young and Kevin Bird. We'll continue and continue to talk football as coach of the Bearcats, Adam Dorrell, is with us. We'll talk to AD right after this timeout. And we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM offers 10 locations and 46 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Today's game is underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing, copying, and other services such as folding, stapling, binding, and laminating, as well as supplying ink and toner. Rapid Elite also provides UPS and FedEx shipping services. More information at 562-4657.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Continuing to talk football as the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Doral, is with us. And, AD, another good win for your team last Saturday, a trip to St. Charles and a win over Lindenwood.
Yeah, thanks, John. It was a great day. Beautiful weather, wasn't it, man? It was a great crowd. It's pretty cool. I don't know the exact number, but it looked like we had just as many folks at the game, fans at the game, as they did. So that's always cool when you're on the road. And did some good things. Obviously, there's some things we can improve on. But anytime you go on the road this time of year and get a win, I think everybody saw what I was talking about a little bit. Lindenwood had athletes. Obviously, they looked the part. And I thought our defense played well to shut their run game down and try to make them one-dimensional. But that quarterback, man, big kid, good athlete, made some plays. But overall, it was a good day, and for the most part, we got out of there pretty much injury-free, so that was another real plus to the day.
You guys, all season long, really have dominated fourth quarters. I mean, fourth quarters have belonged to the Bearcats. Is that something that you talk about, or is it just happened because of the way the whole game plays out?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. I think, our strength and conditioning is good. I think good doesn't do it justice. I think it's great. I think it's one of the best in the country, if not the best. I know Joe prides himself on that and his staff. And so I always think we're strong in the fourth quarter. The other thing is we play so many people in the first, second, third quarter. I'm telling you, man, that makes a huge difference. I mean, Lindenwood was – we were rotating eight offensive linemen the whole game, and Lindenwood played literally four defensive linemen. Those kids were just gassed at the end of the game. And so I think those are a couple of the reasons we play so good in the fourth quarter.
And when you talk about the offensive line, I think enough can't be said about the job the guys do, regardless of who you bring into the game at that
time. Yeah, they're playing well right now. I'm real pleased with them. They're a good group to coach. They're fun to coach. They have fun together, and they're trying to learn every day and very competitive. So it's a good group.
One thing that we kind of touched on a little bit on Saturday, at one point there late in the ball game, you had two Maryville offensive linemen and a Maryville High quarterback. For you, being a Maryville High guy, how cool is it to see so many Maryville athletes?
It was good. I know Nally was out there on the defense, too. So yep. It's good. It makes me proud because I think our football program here at the high school is obviously very strong. And I think those guys are just like me. They get a chance to watch high school or college football growing up. And it was funny. I was telling John at media day on Tuesday, I have really good memories of being young at the homecoming parade. I don't know why I always thought that was just so cool. The tractor, probably the candy, they're throwing the candy out. But I do. I have some great memories of being with my mom and dad and my brothers and our family at the homecoming parade. And I think just those type of events lead in your childhood kind of lead to want you to be a Bearcat. And I'm proud of those kids because every one of those kids you talked about is a great student, too. Raised well, good family, so it's I'm glad to have him.
So Jonathan Baker played a little wide receiver out there.
Yeah, JB, I tell you, he's as smart as a whip, man. That kid, he really can. He can line up at, obviously, quarterback. But one of the hard things, and I said this, I keep saying it, maybe it'll trickle down to our league office, that I wish we could travel more people on the road. But yeah, there is literally kids that play our last home game that played 20, 25 snaps a game, quality snaps, that I can't even take on the road. And, man, it's hard for those kids. And so we started cross-training JB a little bit to do some of that stuff if we needed him to go in there in emergency situations. needless to say, the kids have had fun with him, too, on that. So
now, you have to admit, on Saturday, you were playing a homecoming game against Lindenwood. Governor was there.
Yeah.
And Bearcat Green.
Bearcat Green.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, that's a no-brainer. One's a state school, too, and the other one's not.
Yeah, so,
yeah, that was an easy decision for him. Easy decision for him. No, he's, he's been really fun to get to know. And it's not like we're best friends or anything, but I've met him numerous times. And a couple things that stand out to me. He's very sharp. How he remembers people's names with as many people as he talks to. I don't know how he does that. They always ask about my family, which I think is cool. And then he genuinely likes athletics. I mean, he really does. Like, when you start talking to him about sports, he's very knowledgeable of it. And I always like him because when you're talking to him and he's not in that type of a setting, when he's off the record. He's just very genuine and down to earth. So I've always thought that's very cool. I enjoy seeing him around, and I think it's cool for our kids to see him around.
I think one thing that says a lot Saturday with him there, it was Mizzou's homecoming. He's a Mizzou grad. He's kept homecoming at Mizzou to come to Lindenwood.
John, I brought that to his attention. I brought that to his attention very quickly. So, yeah, it was good to see him. It was we found out, I think Coach D said something to me later, late in the week, that he might be able to show up. He had some stuff down there. And as soon as Coach T said that, I said, he'll find a way to get over that game. You watch, he will. So it was good to see him.
Well, that says something about the program, too, you know, because obviously he's a busy man. Yeah. Anybody in that position would be. But to find time to come out to see the Bearcats says a lot about where the program is right
now.
Yeah,
it is. And it was, you know, Coach Wright was, when he was in town last time, Coach Wright was giving him a hard time because he said, you know, showed him we have a picture, and it's of the national championship game, and he's up there. Rich was giving him a hard time. So everybody thinks you're part of the coaching staff. You've been around. But he's got a great sense of humor, and he just laughs. So it is. I think he always says something, and again, he's just like, I like being around winners. That's what he always says. So it's cool.
All right, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grid on downtown Maryville, talking with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Doral. When we come back, we'll talk about the homecoming matchup with Pittsburgh State. That's coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grid in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at U.S. 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm joined by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Doral. And Adam, big weekend, and we talked a little bit about homecoming coming up. But not only is it homecoming, but Pittsburgh State, though.
Yeah, it's double whammy. You know, it's exciting. Homecoming's always really cool. I think we always use it in a positive way, just to heighten the awareness for the game. And our biggest challenge is just try to stay focused on the game, and there's a lot of distractions. So we talk about that every year with our guys, and I think what I've seen so far, been doing a really good job with that. But it's cool because them over the years. I think it was 08 when we went down to Arrowhead and were up huge at halftime, and then we had to win on the last play of the game here, complete a 4th and 18, and then scored with Abe Quad. So, you know, they're a tradition-rich program. there's a lot of similarities, I think, in our program. I think they're very well coached. I have a tremendous amount of respect for them and what they do there. Their athletic director, I think, is great. Their staff, and they have tough kids. They're blue-collar kids, so I don't. The record really doesn't mean anything to me. I just see the red helmet and the gold pants.
The thing that we've talked about, too, that's a little unusual with this team, though, is all three of their losses being at home this year.
Yeah, it's be tough. It really would. And it's, you go back and you look at those games, and it was just there's a couple of things that went wrong bad for them. I know defensively they've had a lot of injuries this year on defensively. That was the thing I noticed immediately as you look at the guys that they were playing like week one with, week two, and then they're missing a handful of those guys in their defense right now, and it's, you know, I don't know if those guys will be back or not. Saturday, we'll wait and see, but, you know, offensively, everything they do right now starts with their offense. They've got a quarterback who's phenomenal, coach's kid, he's battle-tested, you know, won a handful of state championships, and so, you know, the thing that I think got across to our kids, they're not going to come up here and be scared or intimidated by us or our crowd. They've been in those big type of games, big atmospheres before.
You mentioned the injuries. Anything I've seen or heard about Pittsburgh State, you haven't heard about that out of them. They haven't.